coming to you live from the Business Radio X studio. It's Franchise Marketing Radio, brought to you by IDS, an award-winning digital marketing agency that delivers integrated marketing solutions for franchisors, franchisees, and franchise development teams. Learn why over 75 brands depend on IDS's team of dedicated marketers and client service professionals to deliver a strong ROI on their marketing investment. Go to IDSFranchiseMarketing.com for a complimentary digital audit and consultation.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Franchise Marketing Radio. I'm your host, Rob Ganley. We are the go-to podcast for insights into marketing, technology, and business ownership in the franchising. Today, we're delving into an elegant realm, the elegant realm of French-inspired bakeries with a global twist featuring Paris Baguette. With us today is Kathy Chavanet, the Chief Marketing Officer of Paris Baguette, who recently, well, within the last year or so has joined the team, but brings a new zest and innovative approach to the brand's marketing strategies. And we're going to delve into that today with her. Welcome to the show, Kathy.
Thank you, Rob. Thank you for having me.
It's great. It's great to have you. I love talking marketing. I'd love to talk too, which is why I'm here at a marketing podcast. But anyway, it's great to have you. So tell us a little bit about, I always like to start with the journey to your current world, your current position as Chief Marketing Officer. Why don't you tell us a little bit about how that came to be?
So how I got started at Paris Baguette, I can start with that if that's good. First of all, I'm a huge foodie. Love food, love all foods, but in particular, baked goods. So back in the day, I actually studied culinary school in Switzerland. So I was in Europe, and then from there, owned and operated my own French bakeries in France. And when I came back to the U.S., yes, going back to loving food, right? When I came back to the U.S., I was in the QSR industry for several years. And so this opportunity with Paris Baguette was like my two worlds colliding, my love of food and French baked goods with QSR kind of coming together. So this was really a perfect opportunity for me. And I was already a huge fan of this brand. So I am just so grateful to be here and loving it.
I love that. I love that. Well, it's how all of us have that sort of experience in life where we pull in the different thing elements of our past and say, wow, this is all culminates into this is some of my strengths here. I really like this. But that was interesting. We didn't talk about that you ran some bakeries or some business in Europe. So that's pretty amazing. And you have a whole background. So yes, now you take your marketing skills and your background. Wow, like it's perfect. So let's talk about that. So just in terms of your overall, like we kind of got into it earlier, like before we went live here, but like, tell me a little bit about your vision now. So you're Chief Marketing Officer of this really cool brand. Tell me a little bit of that, what that looks like for you. What are sort of the important highlights of how you approach it? Because you had told me, man, there's so much to kind of promote and talk about. It's so cool. So kind of break that down a little bit about.
Yeah. I mean, for me, this opportunity is like a marketer's dream. We have such a beautiful line of products, right? So we are, you know, born out of Korea, French inspired. We have this line of amazing core products, anything from a croissant to a fresh cream cake to a baguette to, you know, artisan coffees made with Lavazza beans, all of these amazing products for our guests, so much to offer. So as we are looking to, you know, run our marketing ads, our POP, all of our creative, we have this beautiful lineup of products to put forth to our guests. And it's just such an amazing brand to be able to market. So it's just the possibilities are endless with our limited time offerings, the seasonality of our products, our core. We just have endless opportunities from a marketing standpoint. It's an amazing opportunity. Love it.
Yeah.
Absolutely love it.
Oh, I know, especially with your background, right? It's like, yeah, this is cool. But you said something earlier that I want to make sure the audience here is in on too, is like QSR, the acronym QSR, mm-hmm. Quick Service Restaurant, right? I think what's unique about all of this, like, and I know your brand a little bit, but it's that you could say QSR, but it's like high-end food that you would find at a high-end place, five-star kinds of places that aren't QSR, but it's QSR business model, but high-end food. So break that down and what makes that unique for not only the customer, but also, of course, the owner.
Yeah. So I think for a franchisee, like if I was looking for that opportunity as a franchisee, I would want to lean in on a brand that's unique, a brand that has differentiated product, a brand that I could really like be proud of. Knowing that our products are, you know, freshly made each day, baked in-house. We have this breadth of line, this unique product offering, again, set up in this, you know, QSR, fast casual environment that really offers such a unique opportunity, again, from a franchising opportunity. And again, something that you can really be proud of as an owner. Because, you know, this is something that the guest is not going to be able to just, you know, grab on every corner. This is a really, truly unique product offering. Again, being French inspired, really European flair. And the products are just, again, so fresh, so unique, and so differentiated.
So tell me a little bit about, thinking about launching a location and this sort of unique concept that you have. And again, it doesn't take long to grasp it. But again, as I said before, it's really a different level of quality of food. It's gourmet food. It's prepared a very certain way. But this idea of quick, right? Like, how do you do that? And so, but how do you launch a new location, I guess, is what I want to get into more, is because it is unique and you don't want people to lose it and try to treat you like every other fast, go get a quick bite to eat kind of scenario. Tell me a little bit about that first year, sort of your plan as a marketer to kind of launch that location.
Yeah. So I think, you know, again, it's depending on, you know, what type of market you're going into. Is it an emerging market? Is it an already an established market? We want to make sure you have a strong supported grand opening plan. And we have a very structured grand opening plan laid out to really help ensure that, you know, as an operator, you're getting into market, you're really creating a strong structure behind that brand awareness as you're opening, making sure that, you know, you're getting into the community, you're really connecting with the local businesses in your community, you're really opening loud and proud, making sure that you are creating an exciting opportunity for guests to come in to try the product. You know, whether it's through digital marketing, whether it's through direct mail and different opportunities to really invite the guest in, have them come in to try the product and then create that habit of having them come back, you know, between our whole cakes, our pastries, our beverages, our sandwiches and our savories. There's so many opportunities to have the guests come back again and again. Also through loyalty, having them sign up for loyalty, creating that frequency, driving the guests in and really connecting with them through the different digital channels as well. So really making sure the franchise operator feels supported during their grand opening process, because, you know, we don't want to launch and leave. You want to make sure you're really creating that opening 30, 60, 90 day plan to ensure that habit is created with the guests, that they come in for the opening and they continue to come back and become a frequent visitor of the cafe.
Right. It's a big part of the marketing is just great food, right? Like if people, this is awesome, and they just talk about it and share it with their coworkers or their friends, or, you know, go and buy it. And so tell me a little bit about, I want to talk a little marketing. So like storytelling, right? So we were getting to it a little bit, but like, if you had to like tell a story about the feeling that this gives the consumer, well, how would that go? Like, tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So part of what we do in our overall, you know, mission is to really reestablish the neighborhood bakery cafe as the heart of the community, right? We want to invite people in. We want them to feel welcome. We want them to enjoy a moment in their day and really have, whether they're stopping in quickly to pick up a cake or they're stopping in to sit down and enjoy a pastry and a coffee. We want them to have that warm, welcoming environment within the four walls of the cafe. We also want them to have, you know, a really seamless digital experience if they're ordering online or whatever need state they may have. In terms of products, we want to bring in partnerships that make them feel comfortable, nostalgic. Right now, we're partnering with Nutella. So we're doing a product that is very, right, European nostalgia, a flavor profile that has been trending now and for several years. So taking a partnership and a product that we can pull through our doughs and pastries and giving the guest really what they want and telling that story through the product line, through the LTO and the seasonal calendar. So there's so many different ways and touch points that we're able to do that through the experience in the cafe, through the menu innovation and the product line and the seasonal calendar that we're doing.
Wow. Yeah. The seasonal, like, we could just talk an hour on all the different seasonal campaigns and different angles that you probably.
One of my favorite subjects.
Yeah. So just thinking about a little bit more. So the storytelling, so you have this experience that people go through and is very thought through, and you're projecting this feeling and this neighborhood cafe and this great food. Tell me a little bit about what you said earlier, making it easier for them and easy to share. How important is sharing the story, providing a review, just an extension of, hey, this is so easy. I mean, making it easy for people to say, hey, tell your friends, tell your family, whatever. How do you bake that into your overall approach?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're very active through all of our digital channels, through all of our organic social media channels. We're active on Instagram, active on Facebook, active through TikTok, and making sure that we have, you know, that open forum for people to comment, for people to share. That's really important, obviously, in today's environment. We know that people are very open about commenting, about sharing, you know, talking through what's going on, what they're feeling, talking about our seasonal products, talking about any offerings we may be doing through loyalty or any upcoming, you know, micro campaigns, micro holidays. People love those micro campaigns and micro holidays, whether it's a National Coffee Day, a National Cake Day. We just did an offer for Tax Day on Monday, where we invited our loyalty members to come in and enjoy a free pastry with the purchase of a beverage. So really taking time to come in and enjoy a moment after paying your taxes. Who doesn't want to come in for something free after they've just had...
Yeah. If you're like me, you owed a lot. So
how do we connect with our guests when they're going through everyday life moments, right? How do we give back a moment of joy in their day or during their week? You know, national, it was Random Acts of Kindness Day. We did a free pastry that day. So again, trying to tap in and lean in with our guests to give them back little moments of joy in their lives and lean in a little bit on those micro holidays and talk about them through our organic social channels, sometimes through paid channels as well. But where they can kind of, you know, comment back and forth, share that, you know, with their friends and their family. Hey, let's have a date today at Paris Baguette. They're doing a BOGO, you know, espresso on Saturday. You know, different opportunities like that are always fun.
Yeah, that's very fun. Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of the marketing is about experience in your model, like in entertainment models are similar where people gather, right? Or could gather. Or could come in quick. I know that you kind of cater to to helping people where they are, but it is still an environment. Even if I go into, well, Starbucks, let's just look at them. I mean, let's face it, they created an environment. Even if you just go in and out, you could stay for a while, go quick, but it's both. And so tell me a little bit about, I know you do some innovative stuff. So I want to talk a little bit about the packaging, because we said earlier, you know, that sounds really mundane, right? Like bags and like, what are you talking about, Rob? But no, it's very innovative. And I want to talk because you had to think through how to maintain this level of quality that you guys have.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, how do you do that? How can someone take that, but still be quick and fast and maybe take it home, take it to work, catering, whatever it might be. Tell us about that. Some of the thoughts that went into that, not only with the packaging, but with logistics, however you do things. Tell me a little bit about how you had to think that through.
Yeah, absolutely. So we want to make sure that, you know, I'll talk a little on the marketing side first. So wanted to make sure that our packaging is very beautiful, right? Because it's as you walk out of the cafe and you have your packaging in the hand, that continues to create brand awareness, right? A beautiful cup, a beautiful box in this beautiful blue that is our signature color, right? So you have this beautiful cake box in a beautiful, you know, Paris Baguette blue with the logo. And someone's walking with that, you know, it's an extension of the brand. So first of all, you know, just coming again from that marketing side and making sure we have this beautiful branded packaging that again is that signature color. And then from a functionality standpoint, so, you know, you're carrying the box, it has a handle on it, it's very easy, it's very seamless for the guest. Those types of things are very important, making sure that we have, you know, easy to carry paper shopping bags, things of that nature. Being able to, you know, quickly take, you know, you walk into the cafe, there's this beautiful display case of pastries. You want to be able to grab those, take those with you. We have boxes there available so that you can go ahead and just put your pastries right into the box So again, easy for the guest, easy for, you know, people that, you know, want to go in, grab some things, get them on the go, but still have that, you know, pastry bakery experience when they walk in. So all of these little touch points that, you know, we think through as we're creating that environment within the four walls. So a level of elegance and elevation, but also again, that, you know, QSR experience when you walk in.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't mean to fixate on the box. I just thought about me and I'm like,
it's such a beautiful box. So
yeah, can I re-gift it? I mean, it seems like something you'd put something else in.
You totally can.
That's total marketing brilliance, right? Like just that little X. Why not? Why not make it good enough to use again? Now people see even more about you guys and comment on the box. And it just, I love it. It gets you talking about the brand. So very cool. Very cool. I'm always looking for those opportunities in my life. All right, cool. So tell me a little bit from the franchisee standpoint, you know, so, you know, you get them launched, you know, creating this environment in the community. Tell me a little bit about what their role tends to be from a sales marketing sort of ambassador of the brand sort of scenario. How does that work for them? How do you encourage them to sort of be at the center point of what you were describing?
Yeah, absolutely. So I would say from the franchisee side of it and what they're doing, you know, we talk about how important it is for them to really be ambassadors in their communities. So we're doing a lot of national marketing for them, really making sure that they're supported at the national level, running all of those national channels, making sure they're supported through all of the, you know, broadcast opportunities, all of the national digital opportunities, all of the national social opportunities, our organic platforms, the POP, the digital menu boards, all of the video content. And then locally, we want to make sure that they're really owning their, you know, what we call the four walls, the four blocks, the 4 miles. Really connecting with their communities, right? And really leaning in. And how can they plus up all of the national programs with what's needed within their local communities? That's what's really important to own their neighborhoods. And so that's where really they can lean in with their guests and really support their cafes from a local standpoint.
Yeah, yeah. No, brilliant. And so like, how does that connect to the... Now, I should ask. I think I recalled in my previous discussions with you guys. Mm-hmm. I think you do partner with businesses, right? Is there a catering angle?
Yes, we do. Yeah, we do catering, or there may be, you know, opportunities to sponsor, you know, local charities. There's opportunities to work with local schools. There's opportunities to, you know, do different initiatives. Again, local marketing is so important, especially we want to really connect and tie in with the local community. So we really encourage that. We do support them. We have someone on the team that supports local marketing to help the franchisees along the way. They're not just left on their own to do that. We do support them. We provide them guidance and toolkits to ensure that they have everything that they need right at their fingertips. Whether it's bounce backs, whether it, you know, sometimes can be a direct mailer. We also have opportunities for them to do their own local digital marketing as well. So all of the tools that are needed are there for them while they're getting that national support at the same time.
So I love businesses where you can be the ambassador and you can partner, because I do believe that is such an anchor to the revenue stream. But let's talk about paid advertising. Let's talk about some of the digital. Because Google obviously kind of took over the yellow pages. I wonder if people will forget what that means soon enough. But you know, so you have this local idea. You know, people look on local maps. They look for locations and businesses on Google. We know this. And it's from that perspective, that intent-driven sort of, where is that? I need some of this. I want this kind of food or what have you. So you know you have that sort of intent traffic out there in the world. The question would be, how well does it work with your brand, and how do you, and well, you know, so I wanted to get your input on, like, what do you do with it when it comes to, say, Google Ads and Google Local to try to help anchor that at least the visibility and the reviews, right? If you get the great reviews, that's another thing you want to, so tell me a little bit about that, and how does it work to help kind of be a picture or part of the marketing plan?
Yes, it's absolutely necessary. So listings, reputation management is a platform that we absolutely, you know, utilize. We need to ensure, especially because people will look for things like hours of operation. We want to make sure that the hours of operation through all of the different platforms are matching the website and are matching different listings. That's super important for, you know, the guests. So they can find the location. They know when the location is open. There's an understanding there. They can leave reviews. There's also, you know, paid search as well, and making sure that our search terms are aligning around what people might be looking for, whether it's, you know, general search terms or whether it's more specific to a holiday or a season or certain products as well. So all of that is part of the paid marketing strategy to ensure that the franchisees are supported. We're also amidst redoing our website, where we're going to have local pages as well on the website. So again, to really help optimize all of the search for the guest when they are looking for locations or catering or hours of operations or things of that nature. So the tech stack and those platforms are constantly evolving. We're constantly looking for, as we all know, constantly looking for ways to provide a more seamless experience for the guest, which will in turn drive additional sales and visitation for the cafes. So always evolving that piece of the business.
Yeah, I think I remember years ago, it was probably like early 2010s, reading, because I've been doing digital marketing since 2003, and I love Google, and I thought it was so cool, Google AdWords. And I remember reading in early 2010s, like Google did like 293 changes last year to Google AdWords. That was when I could stop doing it myself. And because I was really in the beginning, I loved doing it all. But then it just became, there was so much, not just Google, not just Facebook. Even Facebook didn't come along till 2010 plus, right, with their advertising. So yeah, it is crazy how detailed that is. And so you do need to just put that in place and let it run.
Yes.
And let, but you can't ignore it, right? So you've got to find a way to kind of make sure that budget is balanced, right? And it's kind of hitting the high impact areas. You can't hit them all. You did mention a lot of them. Of course, in your world, I guess TikTok all the way to Facebook would be good. And there's certain brands where you probably wouldn't as be concerned as it may be. Well, nowadays, everybody's saying, like, I see TikTok commercials where they're trying to sell older generations on, yeah, you ought to use TikTok, you know?
It's evolving. I'd say, you know, TikTok is still a little bit of a younger space, but it is evolving. And, you know, we do curate content specifically for TikTok versus Instagram versus Facebook. Sometimes it may be the same image, but the post will change. You know, I'm talking now on the organic side of it. But typically the content for TikTok is specific for TikTok. Whereas Instagram and Facebook can sometimes have similar content with different posts. So just make, you know, just targeting the audiences a little bit differently, and, you know, making sure that we are, in line with what our guests are looking for.
The different habits with each platform, and it's a little
exactly. Scary.
The neuroscientists tell us where the dopamine's off the charts. You can't, we probably should put the phones down. But anyway.
I will say, you know, a beautiful pastry and delicious product, it sells across all the platforms. So we are fortunate in that sense that, you know, we can show, you know, an amazing Nutella croissant donut with an iced latte. And that looks beautiful on TikTok, on Instagram, and on Facebook. So we are fortunate from that standpoint.
Yeah, I was going to comment earlier because I thought to myself, one of the first things people started to do on social media more commonly was like take pictures of food or experiences.
Yes.
And I thought of your food. I'm like, all your food is beautiful looking. It's colorful. It's well laid out. You know what I mean? It's not like a hamburger and fries. You can only do that so many times. So,
pastries are easy to love.
They're easy to love. Little decorations on the side.
Absolutely.
Definitely artwork. You know, culinary is art. So very cool stuff. So let's talk a little more about technology, because I know just running that environment, it's just this old school sort of feel, but you got to use modern technology. Like you were saying, kind of keeping track of who's coming in and out of the store, you know, reward programs or loyalty. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember a little bit about your guests so you can be more custom. Just tell me a little bit about what you guys are working on or what you're currently using from the tech side to kind of cater to your audience and make it more relevant to them.
Yeah. So we are in the middle of updating some of our technology. Can't give you too much of a sneak peek under the tent, but we are super excited about some updates that are going to be coming up in the next few months. Really aligning our tech stack, which I think is really important, right? There's so many different platforms out there. There's so many different ways that you can go with tech. But I think the most important is making sure that all the platforms work well together, that you have a synergy across the platforms. Because if you don't, it can affect the user experience. And ultimately, what you want is that your guests have a seamless experience, whether they're in the mobile app, whether they're trying to order online, whether they're on your website. And when you think about your website, you've got to think that what you're looking at on desktop is also working well on mobile. So all of these things, all of these pieces have to work well together. You need a seamless loyalty program. You need something that is easy for the guest to understand. You can't make it complicated. You have to be able to engage with the guest on a regular basis. You want to be able to drive acquisition, but you also don't want to forget about the guest once they're in the loyalty program. Because if you're taking up space on somebody's phone, you want to be able to engage with them. You want them coming in more frequently. How do you engage with those guests? And all of these things need to be working constantly and together in synergy. If not, your tech stack's not going to work for you.
It's so important. Because now the bar keeps getting higher as things get easier to do. But like, I just go back to thinking about credit cards, like the credit card finance companies and credit card offers, right? Mm-hmm. I remember being with Chase at one point in my life and getting 99 offers. And it was just like, I have four cards. Like, how many more cards do you want me to do? There was no, you didn't expect anything different though. As a consumer, you just knew that they didn't realize and they were just sending mail. And you didn't expect that. But nowadays, people kind of starting to expect it. How do you, why is it saying something different over a year? You know, I've been in here 90 times and you don't remember, like you're sending me something new, like I'm a new, like that's not as forgivable as it might've been in the past. So you really do have to align and be consistent. And so I get that. So that that's not that easy to do. So
right.
I'm looking forward to your unveiling there. So we'll talk again.
I'm very excited about it. We also want to make sure that you're, you know, messaging the guest accurately, right? Because if you're over emailing the guest, if you're over text messaging the guest, they're going to start to unsubscribe, right? They're going to say, you know what, I don't want to hear from this brand anymore. I'm getting too many text messages. I'm getting too many emails, and that's not effective, right? So how do we effectively message our guests? How do we give them news and content that they want to hear, that they want to see? So it's a balance. And again, you just want to make sure that you are, you know, communicating with the guests the right way, sending them, you know, specials or offers or news that they want to hear and see. So it's a balance between, you know, sending the right amount of information and the right amount of information.
Yeah, exactly. Which is not quite as easy. You got to become an IT person. So the marketers had to become IT people because you couldn't really get what you needed unless you learned more about that. That's what I started in sales and tech and then got into marketing and kind of went all kinds of different ways. But it's funny because I saw that transformation of marketers really learning technology, because it's really hard to do what you just said if you don't have a good understanding of the technology too.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, tons of opportunity with it as well. So, but tell me a little bit about, because you mentioned a few times, I'd like to go back to some old school stuff. And you know, you're a seasoned marketer, probably more so than me even, you know, like I've been doing digital marketing for years and years, but I don't have that official background. I did have a minor in college, but tell me about the old school marketing, like this branding idea, like this being top of mind. What are some of the ideas? And I know there's not unlimited budgets, but tell me how you guys approach that, and just to kind of help with some of the direct marketing or, you know, that localized marketing. How does some of that, like TV, radio, is any of that working, or how do you leverage that?
Yeah. So I think as we're approaching nationally, you know, the most important thing is always looking at, you know, what's the ROI? You know, we have, obviously there's always limited budgets and you want to try and get the most out of it that you can. We also have a huge landscape across the US, right? So how do we make those marketing dollars work really hard for us? We also have some markets where we're more heavily penetrated, right? New York, LA, San Francisco. And then we have other markets where we may only have one or two cafes. So how do we find that balance? And digital really helps with that, because you can really make, you know, the money work harder for you. But there's also something to be said for some more traditional media vehicles, right? We always like to look at, you know, what can we do in a more traditional sense, where, you know, sometimes the franchisees like to see some more of those traditional tactics as well. So we've started to look at implementing a few more of those traditional components. And two of the things that we started doing was, one was some, you know, traditional out-of-home billboards. So how do we support some of those smaller markets with, you know, one or two directional, where possible, billboards to just give a little bit more of that brand awareness within the markets, within the DMAs, as well as we've done some broadcast integration as well. So we've had some national broadcast television, which again, just again, it's old school, but it gives you that, you know, that good feeling, that good look and feel across, again, some of those more, you know, again, traditional platforms that, you know, we just, a lot of brands have shied away from now, again, due to cost and, you know, what we're able to do, because you do also have to support it with the creative elements. But we have those integrations that we're doing. Radio, we haven't tapped into just as much. That would be more of a local tactic that we hope to implement, you know, maybe in 25 and beyond. Also, the other, I'd say, traditional piece that we look at is direct mail, which from a local standpoint can be really effective. Guests that receive, you know, a direct mail of offers right into their mailbox. There's something really nice about that, right? To have that you know, that tangible documentation in your hands to drive you into a cafe. So there's something like, you know, the feeling of that is still very powerful. And that can drive a significant amount of traffic and a significant amount of trial, especially in a new cafe opening. So those have been some of the tactics that we've looked at, you know, that are a little bit more old school.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I still get Valpaks. Not that that's exactly what you're doing, anything like that. But the envelope used to be real thick, and now it's real thin. I figure it's a little easier to place some of these angles because people are leaving them. And hey, we're still buying the same way as we did a long time ago. We, you know, it's it might still work pretty good. You might want to look at some of those old school tactics.
Oh. Absolutely. There's nothing like a traditional marketing tactic to, you know, help drive a little bit outside of what we're, you know, you can't go 100% one way or 100% the other way. There needs to be a balance, a little bit of a hybrid.
Yeah. Exactly. You just want to keep, well, and as a franchisor, you have the job of always being, keeping your eyes wide open, figuring out what would be the best new innovation or best, you know, again, balance of things. So not an easy job, but one that we enjoy. I'm sure you do. And it's challenging, but yeah, it's fun. So tell me a little bit about expansion. I don't want to leave the idea of the other side of the marketing of the business. It has to do with starting a business and being part of all of everything we just talked about. When you guys look to expand in markets, first of all, is there any particular areas that you're looking towards to expand in? And how do you approach your franchise development marketing? And how do you incorporate some of those themes we just talked about when you're sharing the opportunity with people?
You know, I think that, you know, from a franchise development standpoint, you know, we definitely want franchisees that have a little bit of that passion, you know, for the bakery business, right? Because there has to be a real love, you know, sort of how we talked about that in earlier on in the conversation. You know, this business is very unique. It's very special. And we really want people that embrace that uniqueness and that specialness of what we have to offer. It's such an amazing business. It's got such a beautiful and unique menu. And you know, we want people to join us who love it as much as we do. I think that's really important. I think as far as, you know, markets and footprint, this brand is working as beautifully in, you know, Wichita, Kansas, as it is in LA, as it is. We just opened a location in Delray, Florida, that's doing amazing. We had a huge opening in Hawaii a few months back, or actually maybe like a month back. Time's going so fast. Every location that we opened one last year in Staten Island, New York, that was just a crazy busy opening. So every opening that we have is just received in the communities so well, so beautifully. And it's just so exciting. It's so exciting to see these openings, to see how successful the cafes are when the doors open and people come in and try the product, especially in new markets where we don't have as much awareness and people are so amazed by the offering when they walk into a cafe.
That's you had a very diverse set. I first thought you were doing it on purpose. I'm like, Hawaii, Florida. It sounds like you just want to go.
I don't know. I just like it. Those are just a few top of mind ones that came in. Yeah.
But then I think Staten Island, which weather wise wouldn't be, you know, the same, but food wise, you know, you got some competitors in the Northeast. People can eat good food there. You talk about foodies, they know their food. Mm-hmm. So That's a good indication that you.
I lived in Staten Island, so that one came to top of mind for me.
There you go. So we know that. So let's. Before we wrap things up today, I wanted to just see if you might share any final advice for anyone that may be in a similar role as you, maybe that, or maybe someone who's considering a business like yours. Any final advice or thoughts? And then if you could maybe just talk to me about what you see as a marketer, as in your space, as any trends, anything new, anything that you see happening. We know certainly AI is taking over the world, right? You know, do you see it? How do you see that trending in your business, right? I mean, is there anything? Anything you wanted to share before we wrap things up?
Yeah, I mean, I think, yes, you are seeing AI everywhere. And I'm interested to see kind of where that goes and where that evolves to. There's so much to be said on that. I think, you know, people use that sometimes now for thought starters. And I think that could be good, right? Instead of starting from a blank page. And that's great. And, you know, I think I like to sometimes like take a step back and just kind of see what happens with it. I think it's interesting to see where we kind of go with all of that and what's to come. I think that, you know, from a food standpoint, innovation and trends is so hot right now, right? And people are taking things like, you know, just what you see every day, like all of a sudden the crookie is the next thing, right? Where cookies and croissants are coming together, or we're doing the flat croissant, right? So that's the croissant that's pressed flat and it's turned into like a crisp, almost like a palmier. Type of product coming out of Korea. And, you know, we actually have that on our menu right now. And so every day it seems that there's something new and exciting and trending and evolving. So I feel like from a foodie standpoint, it's so hot right now because there's always something new and exciting. And I think from a marketer standpoint, you know, like I said earlier, the tech stack is constantly changing. I think, you know, media trends are constantly changing. So we have to stay on top of that and stay abreast of what's new and what's fresh. And then looking at, you know, everything's very generational, right? What's hot right now with Gen Zs, what's happening with alphas, everything is always constantly coming and changing, and social media channels are always changing. And so we just need to stay on it. We need to stay fresh and just stay with the rhythm of the business.
Yeah. You're talking about Gen Zs. You're talking about Gen Z. So I had this conversation with an AI company, a tech company, and this kid comes on. And, you know, it's just funny because I call him a kid because I'm old now. Like, he's in his 20s, I'm in my 50s. So I guess I can call him that. But basically, just the hairdo and the laid back clothes, I mean, it's totally different. Like a whole different world. And I'm just, this is funny. And of course, yeah, the way they think about food and options and health. I just think of all the, you know, franchising leads the way when it comes to really cool innovations around food concepts. So there's no one's going to beat the franchise industry. There's so many cool models. You guys are really unique. Honestly, I don't know of one. I'm not saying I know all of them, but I mean, that does that sort of QSR, quick service, you know, but really cool, high-end environment, great food, and always evolving the menu. So very cool stuff. Thank you very much. How can we learn more about you guys if we happen to be in a market and maybe we don't know, but maybe share the website and the franchise too, if you have a special website for that.
Right from our general website on parisbaguette.com, you can find information about opening a franchise. You can find obviously our menu, our story, lots of information there. And we absolutely would love people who are interested, who love, you know, who are foodies like me, who love the bakery cafe environment. We encourage that. So please, you know, we'd love you to join us.
Yes, absolutely encourage it. As I say, with anyone thinking about starting a franchise, one of the best things you can ever do is call some franchises, you know, and talk to them, because there's some great people in this industry. They're so giving. Your founder, your team. I mean, you got some really intelligent people. You're not going to find more intelligent people about this model and starting it and succeeding at it. So if you want to learn something, I highly recommend it. But I appreciate you coming by today, Kathy, and sharing your insights and your knowledge of marketing and technology. I appreciate that.
Well, thank you for having me.
You're welcome.